good service so far. The songs that we sang together, and the different scripture we've already heard read this morning, and thinking about the scripture that Brother James read here for us there, the last chapter of Revelation. There's one verse that really jumped out at me there. I mean, all of it was very good, but thinking about the invitation that Christ has offered to us to from salvation to be available, and that verse 17. Revelation 22, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come, let him that heareth come, let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Just a good reminder for us of the offering of salvation is available to all mankind, to each one of us. For those of us that has accepted him as our Savior, we know that we have a good and a right and a proper place with him, as well as the hope of being in heaven with him someday. Morning for a message. I was thinking on what to share this week, and I think it was early last weekend, or the end of last week, or beginning of this week. We get a newsletter from Life Ministries there in Lancaster. It's a counseling ministry. And there's an article in there. It was titled "Oh, the Storm," and it's kind of intriguing. And thought about that a little bit. And I want to read just a few different parts out of that article. I'm not going to read all of it, but just a few things out of there. Brother Dave Meyer, he's one of the counselors there. Don't know him real well, but I've met him a few times to know who he is. But he starts out with a verse in 1 Peter 4:12, Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. That's from the ESV. Then he went on to share about the passage of scripture there in Matthew 6, verses 45 to 52, where it talks about when the disciples were out on the water. They were going on the Sea of Galilee on their way to Bethsaida, and they were in the middle of a storm. And yeah, he brought out different things in this story here that I hadn't really given a whole lot of thought to, or given a whole lot of, You know, it's an account where Jesus walked on the water and went out to them. We often dwell on that thought of where Jesus was walking out on the water. But I want to think about just briefly here, as I'm talking about this in the introduction, of some things he brought out in his account, or that is in that account and in his story. They were out on that Sea of Galilee there because Jesus had told them to go. In verse 45 of Mark 6, it says, and straightway he told his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. And then he departed into the mountains to pray. And he brought out in this story, one thing that Jesus had told them to go across to Bethsaida. And according to the time frame of everything that's here, I never thought about this before, but it would appear that they were out there rowing for about 8 hours, and they were encountering a rough sea, a rough storm. Things were not going very well. They were having a turbulent time. And he was really bringing out in this story about what was seeming impossible to them. They were probably exhausted. They were probably wondering, are we really going to make it through this alive? Are we really ever going to get there? But then in the midst of this, that Jesus came walking out to them, and they were confronted with two things whenever that happened. That Jesus was the one who could relieve their difficulty, but yet he could have spoken from the shore and told the waves to be calm, but he walked out to them and met them in the midst of their difficulty, and he said, told the waves to be still. And just one more thing I want to bring out in this story. A question he asked is, why did Jesus send his disciples into that storm? We know that Jesus knew that God is all-knowing and knows all things. We know that Jesus knew they were going to encounter that storm. But then he brought out, he said, we don't know the answer to that for sure, but sometimes we need to be in the storm to enable us to see his glory. For the believer, peace is not to be found in ease of life. Real peace is only ever found in the presence and power and the grace of the Savior, the King, the Lamb, the great I Am. That peace is yours even when the storms of life take you beyond your natural ability, wisdom, and strength. You can live with hope and courage in the middle of what once would have produced discouragement and fear, because you know you're never alone. The great I Am in heaven is all situations, relationships, and locations by his grace He is in you, he is with you, he is for you, and he is our only hope. So I was really encouraged by reading that article. I kind of got my mind thinking on a lot of different things. So this morning I would like to talk just briefly a little bit here in our message this morning about suffering for Christ is the title of the message. I want to ask the question, and don't raise your hands, but I'm pretty certain everyone would raise your hand if we were honest. But were you ever in the midst of a difficult or a discouraging situation, or a situation where you wondered what was really happening in here? If you were honest this morning, I believe you would probably raise your hand if you did. But then I got to thinking about different ones in the Bible that suffered. You know, we have the story of Job, we have Joseph, and we have Daniel. You know, none of these men chose to go through what they went through. And all of these men, probably in the midst of their turmoil, their hard times, were, you don't see that a lot in Scripture, but I'm pretty certain they were human like we are, and they were probably wondering, where is God at in the midst of this? Why am I really facing what I'm facing? You know, we have Job, and I don't want to dwell on each one of these a little bit, but one of the things that often stands out to me about Job is where God says, and I'll just read the verse, so I don't say it wrong, but Job 1:1, there was a man in the land of Uz, and his name was Job. That man was perfect and upright, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, or shunneth evil. And again, whenever God, we know the account there where God was out and met up with Satan, we don't understand all that, but they came before the presence, they met with each other. And the Lord said, and God asked Satan what he was doing, and he said he's going through and through all the earth, walking up and down in it. And then God said to Satan, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth. He is perfect and upright, and a man that one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Again, I don't want to dwell on that, but what I'm wanting us to grasp here is these men faced uncertainty, they faced difficulty, they faced turmoil and persecution in some of the situations, not because of something they did in life, but because they were being willing servants of God, and they were good men, men that were honest. We know the story of Joseph. Again, I don't want to go into take a lot of time here, but all the things that he went through, we know that how can he came up and faced the temptation there with Potiphar's wife, and he said, well, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against my God? He fled from what was sin and what was wrong. We know that he was a good man, but yet he suffered many and great things, but God had a purpose for that. Then we have Daniel. There's just three here that I thought about. I'm sure there's some others we could think about, but Daniel, how he was being a good and honest man, one that wanted to do what was right, one that was doing what God wanted him to do when he was praying, and he got thrown into the lion's den because of that, but we know that God shut him out. So what I want us to think about, a question for each one of us to think about and to answer, if that would have been you or me, how would we respond to their situations? Would we remain steadfast? Would we remain faithful? You know, I've said this before, and I wonder if we haven't gotten to the place that we expect life to be easy. And as soon as we have some hardships or sufferings, we begin to find something or someone to blame it on instead of turning to God and seeing what he has for us. This man by the name of Brother Daniel Kohler, he would be a pastor within BMA. He's from Africa, I think. I forget the place he's actually from. He's an African-American. Very, very good man. He's older now. He's probably in his 70s, but he still goes to other countries. And he said this, let me back up. He goes around and does seminars. He goes around and does some other preaching and teaching, but he goes to other countries many times throughout his ministry. But he said this in one of the articles I read a while back. He said, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. And then this is what he said that really catches our attention. Living in America, it is easy to say these words until we cannot pay one bill and we can become stressed. Here, and he's referring to the one country he was in, here there is no bill, there is no food, there is no new clothes, there is no running water, there is no electricity, there is no work, and there is no money. But yet they can sing and praise God and say that he is good all the time, and all the time God is good. He said, tears brought up in my eyes tonight as I began to preach to a people that had much more than I even felt that I had myself. You know, I was thinking about that as we face different circumstances and different difficulties in life, and we'll be looking at some of that just briefly here this morning. If you will turn with me at this time, the text we want to be looking at is 1 Peter 4, verses 12 through 19. I guess one of the things I want us to think about as we go through the message this morning, as we think about life, you know, all of us are going to face things in life we don't understand. All of us are going to go through difficulties. All of us are going to go through trials. All of us are going to have sufferings of some sort. But many times it is for God to reveal His glory in us and through us, and for us to bring us to a place where He wants us to be. So 1 Peter 4, verses 12 through 19. Said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. In their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, as a busybody in other man's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. For the time has come that judgment must come, begin at the house of God, and it first began at us. What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. I want to look at a couple different parts this morning. The first part we'll be looking at is suffering. Verse 12 there, the first verse we read, pretty much lays it right out as it is. It says there, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. I'll be honest this morning, that's probably not the first thing that comes to mind when we're facing some hardship or some turmoil or some really suffering, some really deep struggle. And, you know, but we're not to be thinking something strange that is happening, but realize that that is what we're going to face as Christians. Someone said it like this, that suffering for Christ is part of the normal Christian life. The older I get, the more I should think about, as we think about this subject, that we should not be surprised at all. Quote, someone said it like this, we should be unsurprised, rejoicing, and knowing that we are blessed. I often think of it like this, and I've said this before, but I believe from the day that we accepted the Lord as our Savior until the day we die, we are going to be in a spiritual battle. Satan is not happy that we are living for the Lord. Satan is not happy that we are rejoicing in the hope that we have in Christ. And he's going to try to tear us down in one way or another. So if we're in the midst of a hard thing and we begin to lash out in anger and put blame on others and try to wonder what's really happening, I believe you're falling right into Satan's trap. Verse 13 there tells us to rejoice when we are going through hard things. Inasmuch as ye know ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. And I guess there again, you know, I often think about it's hard to think about rejoicing, but I don't know that we are called to rejoice in the hard things, the suffering that we are facing, but we can rejoice in that God cares about us enough to take us through those things or allow us to go through those things to bring us to a place that He receives glory for what we are going through. So one question I thought about, what is the real purpose for suffering or trials? And I guess to answer that question, this would be a short answer. There would be a lot longer answer we could spend a lot of time on. But I believe the purpose is for refinement and for purification and for God to receive glory from our lives. You know, I thought about that as we talked just briefly about Job and about Daniel and about he got there with for no reason other than something that somebody said dishonestly about him or somebody did. I'm sure he wasn't thinking about, well, this is going to bring God a lot of glory. That probably wasn't always on the forefront of his mind. But yet, we know the whole story, and we see the glory that God received because of what he went through. And Daniel would be another one, and we know the ending of that story as well. And no, I'm sure that another one I just thought about is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were thrown into the fiery furnace. You know, they said the fire was so hot that it even consumed those that were throwing them in, but yet they were not touched. Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego, and we see that God received the glory because of that. But yet, what I'm trying to get us to think by saying some of those things is when they were in the midst of that, I'm sure they weren't, the first thing that was on their minds is God's going to get a lot of glory because I'm getting thrown into this furnace. But that's not the first thing that goes through our minds when we face hard trials. But yet, we need to remain faithful and continue to focus wholly on him. The verse in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, it says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found to be praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know, it talks about our faith being much more precious than gold that is going to perish. That is when we are tried with fire, that at the end, God is going to receive the glory. Many times, the trials we go through bring us to the point of learning to trust in God. Are we truly trusting and rejoicing in the Lord? Verse 14, maybe takes this thought process a little bit deeper. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. You know, we often pray for the Christians around the world that are persecuted. I think that's good, and I think that's right, and I think we need to. But I read an article from a missionary a number of years ago. I forget his name, but he came back from the mission field, and here again, I don't remember which country it was even in. But he came back, and he said, I believe we need to send missionaries to America from some of these countries. He said, the people over there have nothing, but yet their praise and their worship is a lot more louder, a lot more vocal than anything he sees in America. And I thought about that, you know, we have, in many ways, we have it so nice here and so comfortable, but yet, the hard things, I'm not downplaying the trials and the hard things we go through, because there is a lot of that as well. But what I want us to realize is, are we being faithful? What I want us to think about is, are we being faithful and continue to keep our faith and trust in the Lord in the midst of all of that? Think about Job just a little bit more. What would the ending of the story be like if it would have said that Job lost his faith in the middle of that? You know, most of us, if we face hard things in life, we can come to let me back up. Most of us that are married, if we face hard things in life, I'm thinking of us as men, we come home at their come into the house or come home at the end of a long day, we at least have something comforting, encouraging in our life. But Job, he and his wife said, man, you're off your rocker. Curse God and die. You know, you're not even thinking straight anymore. So he didn't even have that encouragement anymore. He was so alone. But yet, he remained faithful. He would not give up this love for the Lord. Part two, we want to look at is suffering for the right reason. Verse 15 brings out that don't suffer because of making wrong choices. Don't suffer because of as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, as a busybody in other man's matters. In other words, don't just try to suffer because of doing something wrong, making wrong choices, walking away from the will of God. That would be self-inflicted suffering or self-inflicted pain. Many times we see people today are walking away from the will of God and walking in ways that are not honoring and pleasing to him. And then when they run into all kinds of trouble, they start looking for all kinds of excuses and reasons instead of looking at the core of the problem. That's what this verse is talking about here. verse 16 that it says, but yet if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf, on his behalf. I remember a number of years ago, I heard a message, I think it might have been an MEW, I don't remember even what the title of it was, but it said that we should consider it an honor to bear the name of Christ. You know, are we truly honored to be Christians? Are we truly honored to bear the name of Christ? And if we suffer because we are a Christian, we have no reason to be ashamed of that. Are we truly living lives that are honoring and pleasing to Christ? And are we doing things in a way that are honoring and glorifying to Him? And I thought about that, you know, sometimes some of the things that we are called to do as Christians can bring us out of our comfort zones. I remember Denny Eicher, I was just reading an article that he had read a number of years ago. He was here for revivals a number of years, a good many years ago, probably like 10 years ago. A few of you would probably remember him being here, but he is a very dynamic speaker. When he gets up to preach, he's full bore, full speed ahead from start to finish. And I remember him sharing at an MEW, and I'll probably never forget this, but he said in his message, he said something like this. He said, I hope that while I'm done preaching, your seats are on fire and are so hot that you have to get up and do something for the Lord. And I thought about that as I was sharing this. You know, sometimes in the midst of the difficulties of life, we become discouraged or we become disheartened or we become, you know, is it really worth it? Why are we really doing this? But instead of that, we should realize that we have something to offer. And if we are suffering for the cause of Christ, we have no reason to be ashamed or to be discouraged. Part three we want to look at yet is to give an account. How often do we stop and think about that there is a judgment day coming? Do we want to be faithful in the midst of life? When we get to that day, we will hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Verse 17 says, for the time is coming that judgment must begin in the house of God. And if it first begin at us, then it shall end be of them that obey not the gospel of God. There is a day coming when we will have to give an account of how we responded, the things we did in life, the things we did for the Lord, the way we responded to the things we faced in life. Hebrews 12, verses 7 through 15 brings out some of that as well. Says, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are masters and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be subject unto the Father of the spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but for our own profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now their chastening for the present seems to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. But let it rather be healed. Call a peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up and trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. There's a lot in that passage, but just thinking about what all it said there, to realize that the things we are facing, we are called to endure it, that if we are being chastened, that God is dealing with us as sons. And it almost brings out the fact there in that one verse that if we are without chastisement, we better be on guard because there's something else happening that God is letting us slide, so to speak. But then that verse 15 is the one I was mainly looking at there. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up and trouble you, thereby many be defiled. So I thought about some of that, the suffering and the hard things we may go through sometimes in life will seem very dim compared to those who rejected God in the light here, while they live in the light hereafter. For those that were rejected Christ, having seemed to be doing okay here on this earth, their doom will be eternal suffering and eternal punishment. Suffering perfects our salvation. That was a quote that I've seen while studying. Many times in the midst of our suffering, God wants to see whether we are faithful to Him. Do we really love Him? Are we really going to be faithful? And I thought about that, you know, in a little bit as I was studying for this, you know, in the times that I had, I'm going to call, I just shared this morning in the New Believers class, we were talking about salvation, and I said the Christian life is a growing experience that continues throughout life. There are certain points in your life that are stepping stones, so to speak, or growing points in your life. But many times there's growing points in my own life where I was called to a deeper and closer walk with the Lord, or a deeper love for the Lord, or something major that happened that made me stop and think of where am I really at, and made me continue to commit myself in a deeper way to the Lord. It's many times in the midst of our suffering that God wants to see if we really love Him or will be faithful to Him. We need to keep on rejoicing. We need to keep on praising the Lord. When we are tried with hard things, we can come back with things like, I know I am saved. I love the Lord. The Lord has died for me. I have the hope of being in heaven with Him someday. There are some days we go through that we maybe don't feel like we have much to rejoice about. But we can always rejoice in the fact that God loved us so much that He sent His Son Jesus, His only Son, to die on the cross, and 3 days later He rose again to provide a victory over Satan and death and hell. I don't know about each one of you this morning, but that's something I believe that we can rejoice about regardless of what else we face in life. Verse 19 says, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. We don't have to fear God. We don't have to fear. Let me back up. Maybe it wasn't quite a proper statement. We do need to fear God. We need to have a proper fear of God. But we don't need to fear God if we are living for Him and we are serving Him. The fear that we need to have for God is a reverential fear, a fear of His greatness and His power and His might. However, as believers, we don't need to walk around in fear if He's up there with a big stick and going to clobber us, because that's not who God is. He is a loving God. So as we think about some of the things we talked about this morning, I am confident this morning that there is value in our sufferings. We maybe don't see that value, we maybe don't understand that, but if we read Scripture and see what every the different ones we talked about went through, there is value in what they went through. It might not make any sense to us, and many times it won't, but I am sure that if God allows us to go through it, that there is a reason for it. 1 Corinthians 13:12 talks about that we now see Him through a glass darkly, but someday we will see Him face to face and everything will begin to make more sense. Thinking of that phrase of seeing through a glass darkly, that means that we don't understand what is all happening, or we won't be able to comprehend why everything is taking place as it is. Verse 19, one thing I wanted to point out there in that text is that the first part of that verse, wherefore let him that suffer according to the will of God. You ever stop and think about that? Let him that is suffering according to the will of God. In other words, we are going through the things we are because God is allowing them for some reason. Then it tells us we continue to commit to keeping our souls unto Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Someone once said, a quote, it says, God does not always calm the storms, but sometimes He calms His children in the middle of the storm. God wants us to be strong and speak confidently about our God, even when the storms of life howl around us. It's a poem that I like very well. I have part of it in a little motto or a little part in my Bible. I've got one hanging in the office. The title is When Things Go Wrong. It says, when things go wrong as they sometimes will, and the road you're trudging seems all uphill, and the fun the side. When cares are pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life sometimes is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learn, and many a failure turns about when you might have won if you'd stuck it out. Don't give up when the pace seems slow. You might succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. He may learn too late when the night slipped down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tin of clouds of doubt. You never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when your heart is quit. And when things seem worse, you must never quit. Never, never give up on serving the Lord. You know, as I shared in the beginning, or asked the question, there's not a single one of us here. Maybe you're facing something hard right now. There's not a single one of us here, I'm sure of that, that hasn't went through something in life that was hard to go through, or something in life that you wondered why. But yet in the midst of all of those hard things, let's continue to keep our faith and trust in the Lord. And remember what we heard this morning, that there's a reason that we go through the things we do. There's a lot of things that we cannot comprehend, we won't make sense of here on this earth. Now, there's different ones lost children, different ones lost a baby, different ones, I lost my dad at a young age. And I, the couple that does that, living room sing-along, I can't even think of their names now, but I guess that's not that important. They were here in Roxbury, we weren't there, but we watched it on over YouTube. And the day before, that was 30 years ago, they had lost a son. He was 2 or 3 years old, and he said it still brings tears in my eyes when I think of that day and the hurt and the pain that was. But he said, you know, he's like, I don't understand them things. I don't comprehend. He said, I'll never grasp why that needs to happen. And he said, yet I can continue to keep my faith and trust in the Lord. And I can know that God is solid, and he does care about us. So as we think about some of that, you know, we don't understand the things we go through in life. We don't understand our Job when he was going through the things he faced, didn't understand that. Joseph, when he was going through the hard things, didn't understand that. Daniel, we talked there briefly about Daniel. Not only was he thrown into the lion's den, but he was a captive in the middle of all that. He was not just somebody out walking freely. He was a captive, but yet he was continuing to be faithful in the Lord. So I'm going to just encourage all of us, regardless of what we're facing, regardless of what we go through or are going through,